The first sign that we study is Virgo. And all of you, you remember we went over the book of the stars and each of the constellations and there. Did you, all of you get that? Mm-hmm. If you didn't, there's some extra ones right there. All myth, all things in this Bible, and in fact, all of the of stories of fantasy, of legends, all spring from this one, in all cultures, spring from this one scripture in Genesis 3:15. And it's when God speaks to the serpent, he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, the word bruise, for it shall bruise his head, means that it will be overcome. That it shall bruise thy head. In other words, the seed of woman will overcome the seed of the serpent. And the word for bruise, the heel, is you shall affect it. And so the only thing the serpent can do is affect the walk. But Christ has overcome the head of the serpent. Now, none of this can mean anything to you until you understand that you are the seed of the serpent. Nothing else can happen in here. No meaning of the stars can take place. No understanding of the mystery can happen unless you understand that you are the seed of the serpent.
And we became the seed of the serpent once we disobeyed God.
The fall. Now, does everybody understand that? The seed of the serpent can't improve, he can't get better, he can't get it right. He can do nothing but to maim, to kill, steal, lie, and destroy. That's all he can do. Doesn't matter if he's coming in the name of Jesus or coming in the name of Bruce. Do I have agreement that every one of you recognize that you are the child of the devil, the seed of the serpent? Do you understand how radical that is for you to say you agree with that? Can you prove it by Scripture? Can you prove that you're the seed of the serpent by the Scriptures? Somebody do it.
The one that says you're of your father, the devil.
Okay, I want you to find it. I want you to prove to me that you and anyone you're talking to is of the Antichrist or of the seed of the serpent. Come on, Bible scholars.
Isn't it John?
The first darkness over the light.
Well, that's my tongue.
Talk about smartasses.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I will rise to the challenge. No pun intended.
You will slither to the challenge.
Slither.
Well, first go to Matthew 3. In those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent. What a novel thing to be saying. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. At the same time, John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Now, why did they go to him?
Because he was a Nazarite, and because this was Yom Kippur, and they were going to be baptized. That's when they were supposed to be baptized.
Right.
And he was a Nazarite, so that was a big.
He was only one of four men in all of history to be a Nazarite from birth. It was the most awesome thing to be in that position in in Israel. To be a Nazarite was like, it was 10 times more important, 100 times more important than being the high priest, to be a Nazarite from birth. Only, can you name the four?
Samson.
Samson.
John. And then those other two. The prophet.
Jeremiah.
Anyway.
Starts with a B.
Who is it?
Not Moses.
I don't know. Relative.
Anyway. Let me get you to look it up. Okay, I'm tired of giving you the answer all the time, and then you never remember it. The only way you're going to remember it is look it up. You guys go and look up and find out who the four Nazarites from birth were. But you can imagine in the history of Israel how important that would be. There was only one Nazarite from birth, and it wasn't even in every generation because there were only four of them. So it's like the ashes of the red heifer, how important it was. There are only seven cows in the whole of Israel's history.
It's the best a Jewish man could be.
Best it could be. All right? And they knew it. His father, remember who John the Baptist's father was?
Yeah.
His father was of the course of priests of Azariah, whose function it was to administer the altar of incense. He's a huge deal. So this is like bigger than John the Baptist would be like bigger than the Kennedy clan or bigger than the king, Prince Edward or whatever. What's the guy's name in England? Charles. He would be like the hugest deal that he could be. And now he had arrived at his majority. He was 30 years old. Now he could speak. He began to speak publicly for the first time. Big, big deal. First time he spoke publicly.
No.
What?
This is what he said.
The first time he spoke publicly,
God.
All Jerusalem and all Judea and all surrounding areas, it was on the Feast of Yom Kippur, they came up to see him. The first thing he told them was, "You seed of the snake, you child of Satan."
You can imagine for the first time opening your mouth in front of thousands of people saying that.
And listen to what he said. First of all, do you believe what I just told you about all of the how big he was and the big he?
And I'm saying for the first time that because of the way this is written, before we get to hear this, it says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So what we're about to hear is the picture of
how you prepare the way
and make. Yeah,
right. Oh, is he the same one that said you cross land and sea to make one convert?
No, Christ says that.
Oh, Christ did that.
You cross over sea and land to make one convert. When he is made, you make him twice the child of hell that you are. Least studied scripture in the Bible.
1 John 16:1.
No, Matthew 13. I mean 23:15. All right.
Well, the other one's most studied.
For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness." And that's pretty big. They recognized that he was prophesied by Isaiah. And Isaiah was like the huge dude. He was second only to Elijah.
So there's no way to finesse what John says.
That's right.
Oh, God.
Isaiah was such a hero that there are, when you read the Talmud, he was cut in half. But not this way, this way. And he was cut in half by one of these saws that that was grinding like this. And he prophesied all the way up. He stopped. He prophesied until I cut his vocal cords. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all of the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers." Now the others that came to him came out of sincere repentance. They were people who were widows and orphans, those in need, those who had lost everything, those who, prostitutes, the ones that are truly in need. And they came to him and he baptized them freely because he saw through and knew their need. But then he also saw the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And he said unto them, O generation of vipers, O sons of the snake, is what generation of vipers is like. You ought to get this book, translated for King James, because it goes through, I don't remember if this is particularly one of them, but I'd wager it was, where they had this great discussion. We can't say son of the snake. You can't say that. We'll say, you can't even say snake, because that'll get them really pissed. So you got to say generation of vipers. That sounds more
poetic.
Can't say that to the king.
More politically correct.
For the king.
More people can accept that.
O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit, meet or necessary for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father or for our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham.
I just got this wild thought that by prophesying, it's like you're giving the fruit back. It's like you take, they took it in. It's like deciding to give something evil. But that's like the way to give the fruit back.
Yeah. And now also, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. What does that mean? It means the human race has lost its opportunity. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. It may take a little while till the tree dies, but the axe, that's what John the Baptist did. He took the axe to the root of the tree. That's what my job is to you. That's to take the axe and say, you mother, you can't.
We got it.
Shut up, Tommy. Right to the root. Now also the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So he had to fulfill what was spoken of by the prophet Daniel, that in the third week he would cause the oblation to cease. Then he allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
What is oblation?
Huh?
What is oblation?
Sacrifice.
So the Spirit of God wasn't with him before that moment?
I remember we talked about that.
So that's the point where he didn't know he was.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
He was me.
Back in verse 10, when it says, Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit, but that good there is not...
Not what you think good is.
Yeah, not what I think good is. But it's...
Fruit of the Spirit. Not fruit of the flesh.
That brings forth repentance.
That's the only good fruit, is to bring forth repentance. That's the best that human beings... the human beast can do.
That's good. Coin that one.
I've already, it's been said before about 15 times in here. Let's go one other point place to see what these people thought. Like, again, you understand John the Baptist was far, far higher in the mind of the world, the Jewish world, than Jesus was.
Yeah, it's like, that's why he had a baptism, because in the flesh he was above.
Okay.
Did the Jews get baptized?
They got baptized every Yom Kippur between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's why we know when this event took place. That's why we know it was for. That's why we know Jesus was baptized in Yom Kippur, because it's the only time the Jews baptized.
They don't do that anymore, right?
They don't do anything anymore. They're so fucked up. I'm getting tired of talking to Jews. I spent a lot of time letting me talk to Jews.
Stupid.
They don't even do what the things they said they're Jewing. They don't even do their Jewishness.
They're so proud of
this
Jewishness, and they don't even know what it is.
Matthew 11. Let's see what Jesus said about John the Baptist.
The greatest.
So, remember, we're studying this idea that the highest and the best and the brightest that ever lived, from the standpoint of man, said that you're sons of the serpent.
I never knew that John the Baptist was over Jesus in the flesh.
Yeah. Better, far better lineage and heritage. His father was a carpenter, right. Jesus. John the Baptist's father was one of the highest orders of priests.
Learned in the law.
Learned.
Genetically right. So how would he become a Nazarite?
His mother and father dedicated him before his birth.
And that's a big deal.
Huge. Only four people in all of history ever did it.
I figured people would have to agree that he would be.
Yeah, they had to agree in the temple.
Yeah. But there's another neat duality, because Christ's birth was foretold by an angel, but only to a little girl alone in a room. John's birth was foretold by an angel, but it was told to a
priest.
High-ranking priest in the Holy of Holies.
No, not in the Holy of Holies. In the Holy Place.
I mean,
it's two different. Yeah, it's great.
It's the same thing, but you don't get any better.
That's the Spirit of God question. When it lighted.
You know what that means? Can I ask a Spirit of God question? She trying to be religious?
She wants 5 minutes to revise next to her earlier
remarks.
Spirit
of God lighted discuss. They lighted on Christ right after he came out of the water, and that was when he realized fully who he was. When the Spirit at Pentecost, is that the same sort of thing? But at that moment, that's the empowerment that we celebrate at Pentecost, is that we know at that point fully
who we are.
Who we are. Okay.
Good question. Good question.
It's a dawning awareness. It's a dawning thing. I've only celebrated four already.
Sure.
Oh, this is the empowerment.
First, and it came to pass when this is an interesting one. I love this scripture because it sort of, I love it when people say to me, "Well, I can't do what you ask. I've got a family," or you know. But here's what he says. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities or their families. In other words, you can never, ever, ever, it's your obedience that is preventing, it's your disobedience that's preventing the Spirit of God from going and preaching to your families. You understand that? When he had made, do you think Jesus has made an end of commanding you, his disciple? Well, then read this. Read it. You read it out loud.
Verse 1.
One.
And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples that he departed
tends to teach and preach in their city. And John,
stop, just stop there. When he had made an end of commanding his disciples, then he went to the cities and to the relatives and to the parents.
Disobedience keeps us from being...
Your disobedience keeps your relatives from becoming disciples.
And almost anybody, really.
All that's necessary for you is to become a disciple. He'll take care of everything else. All of your concerns about other things are not real concerns about those things. They're concerns about the elevation of the evil one. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And what they had seen, we just saw that he baptized them 10 verses earlier, or 8 chapters earlier.
And he said he wasn't worthy.
And he said he wasn't worthy, and he wanted to get baptized of him.
Now what does he say?
Now, says, are you the one, or should we look for another? Why? Why did he say that?
It's one that he sees answer if he says that he's the Messiah.
Well, that's part of it.
Right?
But the reason is, he wanted to see if the fruit of the baptism was taking place. Because the prophecies said that the blind shall see, the deaf shall hear, the dead shall be raised when it's the age of Messiah. So he wanted to be sure that he had really baptized Messiah.
Okay, so he said he heard in the prison the works of Christ, the Messiah, right? So he sent two of his disciples to Jesus.
And said, are thou he that should come? Are you the Messiah? Are you really the Messiah? Did I baptize you properly?
So he wanted to see if Jesus, whom he baptized, was the Messiah.
Right. Okay. Because, I mean, he knew that he was the Messiah, but he wanted to see if the fruit of his Messiah's
doing his job.
If he was doing his job. Because if he was doing his job, then he could die.
But he heard of the works in prison.
He only heard of them. He had to have reliable witnesses.
And he's saying, tell me what you're supposed to tell me.
Right. Play give me the part. Reliable witnesses.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Same as you. You need to have, you can't believe somebody from, you're in your prison, you can't believe him. You got to say, is this going on or isn't it?
But if he hadn't done that, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
So he asked Christ to tell him himself?
Well, somebody said, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Okay, go to Isaiah 29. You can't just have a guy come around and say, I'm Messiah.
There were a lot of those, right?
I got the truth.
You got him the right answer.
Verse 17. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of this book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Anyway, then it goes, the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy. And then there's several other promises, but that's just an example. There are these prophetic promises, prophetic words that say these had to have taken place before Messiah is confirmed. So John, in prison now, before he could allow Herod to kill him, had to know that his job was finished. Can you hear that? It's really majestic.
Yeah.
Because now, before that, I mean, John had a little bit of stroke with God. You understand that? He had some stroke.
Huh?
And he could have caused Herod to get castrated or anything you want. I mean, just wipe them out. Because John had to be the one by the prophecy to fulfill this, and he had to be there's a thousand really neat reasons why he had to be a Nazarite from birth to do it. He had to be the one to proclaim it. And he couldn't die until he knew that Messiah was Messiah was Messiah.
He couldn't go based on just what he saw in the stream or any of that stuff.
Right.
I mean, this is the perfect answer.
Right.
No other answer would have sufficed.
Right. That's why we're studying this.
But I mean, it's like it's a key.
That's why we're studying it. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That's a biggie. 11:5. 11:6. Huh?
So the disciples won't go back to John and say, "Well, I never."
Right. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. So he's been having a little chat with a bunch of people, and then these disciples of John come up and say, "Are you the one?" And he answers them, and then goes back. Now he's changed the subject. Now he's going to talk about John. Sure. And all of the people know who John is. John's like a big dude. John is heavy duty. All right? And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What?" He's reminding them in the past. "What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind?" What does that mean?
Scared in your pants.
No, something that can be moved by circumstances.
Cool.
Oh, wow. A reed shaking in the wind. What went you out to see? Reed shaking in the wind. I love that. Somebody that can be moved by anything. Somebody's going to change their message by the circumstances. "But what went you out to see? Man clothed in soft raiment that talks nice. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses." Soft there meaning, what, when you see one that wears soft clothing, one that's genteel, a gentleman.
Nice
hair.
Huh?
Pampered.
"But what went you out to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And verily I say unto you, that among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now that's why always the role of the preacher is always in that role. It's the role of Elijah, the role of John the Baptist, the role of the preacher. But when it calls forth repentance, and among the things that take place in life, according to the nature of man, there is no, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but there's no greater office in the universe than that of one that's in this office. Understand why? Because you get the right to make fun of everything. All right. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Oh, well, that's not nice. You can't believe the violence that happened when we came into being. The Bible studies were like wars. The stuff that's happened here since bananas has existed is like nothing. Ed knows.
Tiddlywinks. Should have been here in the old days.
That's right.
Had some real violence.
I mean, there were fights.
Throwing wine glasses.
Throwing wine at.
Cool.
Mostly at me.
Cool.
Well, I saw a chick come over the table one night and say, "You bitch, I'm gonna rip your face off." I saw that.
Yeah. You say that again, we'll kick your ass.
I saw somebody walk across a Seder table.
Walk over the top of the Holy Seder table.
Passover Seder table.
With heels.
Thank you.
I saw that.
In 10, is that, I know it's in Isaiah that
where are you?
The same, we're up 10, up 10. Matthew 11, where this is he, of whom it is written.
Yeah, that's the same as I just read.
Isaiah,
yeah.
Right? Isaiah 29, where we just read.
It's an, but it's also, it's in Malachi 3, it's in Isaiah 29, it's all over. All right, listen carefully now. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Do you understand that everybody says that that shouldn't happen?
wait, this is mundane, but what does he mean from the days of John the Baptist? He's saying it, he's speaking in the days of John the Baptist.
From the days that John the Baptist first began preaching until now.
This moment.
This moment.
Being that moment and this moment.
And this moment.
All right, okay.
For all the prophets and the law, listen to this carefully. For all the prophets and all the law prophesied until John. At John, everything is fulfilled. Can you hear that? And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was to come. That's why some of these New Age idiots think that Jesus taught reincarnation. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But, contrast, if you have ears to hear, hear what he just said, but the contrast. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto the children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Okay, all of this was to see that John the Baptist was prophesying of this first prophecy, Genesis 3:15, that the seed of woman shall bruise the head or overcome the head of the serpent, and the seed of the serpent shall bruise the heel of the seed. That's what has to happen in us. That's why Christ said, I write unto you, or John said, I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. The word of God is strong and abideth continually in you. You don't have to play these games in your head anymore. We didn't get very far. We got the first paragraph, first sentence of the first paragraph of the first page.
Yeah, but it really does.
It's sort of like building the foundation.
It proves it. I mean, it clearly proves it. We didn't do this last time.
It's while you were reading that, I remember that what we read about Jesus talking to those two disciples who he just, on the one hand he said, you know, how faithful they are, and then the next hand he like pissed them off so much, it's like he's like still testing them, you know, it's like, you know, but that's necessary. I mean, that still shows that has to happen.
Amen. And one say, thou art the God, the Father just revealed all this to you. And then the next sentence it says, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah, he knows who he's talking to.
Do you think Satan was stronger in the earlier, before Christ, than what he is now? The power of him?
No. If we lived in a society that believed in animism or spiritual matters, you'd see demons coming out of the world woodwork at us here.
What? So that what?
More spiritual. They more
a society or the demonic activity has to have one of three things to be to work.
Remember, I'm the person that saw this thing shoot out of a TV set one day.
Three things are: there has to have a belief in them, a worship of them.
Oh, sure.
Worship.
Where you give them breath, you give them importance, and by that worship, you tear the veil between soul and spirit.
Fear being one of them.
Fear being one of them.
Yeah.
Second thing is the other way that they have access is by surrendering your will to something, like hypnosis, the idea of going. Or like some of the meditational that's why you're so pissed off at Delvin. Why are we doing the same thing? Yeah, I'll tell you what you can learn in meditation. are a lot of the yoga and some of these new age things where you give over your will, you make your page blank, is what they say. Well, when you do that, and then also that veil between soul and spirit is very thin. If there's one of those jokers hanging around, they'll come right through. And the third way is with drugs. Because with drugs, the drug activity suspends your will. And you don't want to be taking drugs and then listening to the demon tapes.
And engaging in illicit sex.
So she asked it. So it wasn't so much that he was stronger.
They believed in it
but
more.
In some places of the world.
The demonic activity is as strong now as it ever was anywhere in any time.
I was wondering with Christ on the cross and the struggle.
No, because see, the demon activity really, it's like they already got them. I mean, they already got you, the human race. I mean, it's not going to struggle for them.
Oh, it's letting that go, that stuff. Yeah, it's like trying to leave the market.
That's good.
Allegedly, of course. Not that I would ever.
That's what the big boys told you.